Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. You know, it's great to have you guys back with us. If you haven't been a listener, welcome to the show. It's going to be fun. Ava's here.
I'm here.
Don, there's. I'm putting my hands where you normally would be. Nope, yeah, Don is not here.
He's missing, but... And somebody just walked through the door, too, and I was like, hey, aw.
Nope, not him.
Disappointment.
He's doing something else. But anyway, we do have Mr. Chris Granrud from Rainy Days
that
Guide Service.
That makes up for it.
Yep. We're going to be talking about Rainy Lake. We're going to talk about what to expect when you get a guide in 2024, the do's, the don'ts, and really what you should be looking for when you have a guide for a fishing trip. And I think that's going to be a good trip for everybody.
Yeah.
So. Hang tight. It is going to be a great show. I will guarantee it.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Ava.
How's it going, Eric?
She's a-going. I can't make up my mind what is going to be when I walk outside. The weather's going to be day-to-day.
It's great this weekend.
Across the Midwest, it's been kind of crazy.
Yeah.
About a week and just over a week ago, it was Wisconsin had a foot of snow. And
yeah, and then we had a bunch of wind this week.
Yeah, this last week was
looked like a tornado crazy. Went through my front yard.
I know.
It brought warmth and sunshine.
But
so
it makes fishing difficult, I will tell you that.
I bet.
Because there's a lot of bodies of water that are open. There's a lot of open water right now, and I'll tell you, there's no way around it. Try and vertical jig in a 40-mile-an-hour, a 35-mile-an-hour wind. It's a challenge.
I bet.
So then it's like, okay, let's anchor up, but then you don't get the same capability, and you don't get the same amount of fish, so it turns into now what? And especially when there's a lot of boats, that's the best part, because down in the river, at this point, you have so many boats that are out. And the wind picks up. And when the normal bumper boat comically said, you know, statement actually truly is bumper
right.
boats, because the gusts of winds are throwing these boats around like they're toys. It is pretty amazing what ends up happening. So you get some unhappy people. And it's
Mother Nature always wins, man.
Welcome to spring fishing.
Yep.
Well, what are you going to do? Mother Nature, she wins. Yes, I agree, all the time. Before we jump into Chris Grand will be coming on from Rainy Days Guide Service later on, we're going to jump in with him after the break and talk a little bit about guide service. You know, when you go fishing, if you don't know a body of water and you go up for a week, sometimes you can't get on the right bite. You can't figure it out. Why not take advantage of it? So, you know, those are kind of the things we're going to be looking at asking Chris. And, you know, how do you find the right guide to meet the needs you have?
Well, so. And honestly, I caught my biggest bass, largemouth bass, with a guide.
There you
and
go.
And I will always remember that.
See?
Mm-hmm.
That's
and he was like the coolest guy. So
where was it?
This was up in Brainerd, Gull Lake.
You remember the guy's name?
I don't. I have a picture of him. You
show me the picture. I bet I know him. Is he a younger guy?
No. Skinny guy. I don't know.
Dan. I bet his name was Dan.
Gal, this was must have been like 2016, 2015.
I bet it was Dan.
Yeah, I think it's one of my profile pictures, to be honest with you, because it's one of the, like, it's a nice bass. Let me find it.
This makes for good radio, by the way.
Well, see, this is before before marriage. This is before kids. Okay, so we're getting there. See, I'm still married here. Okay. Working on it.
Going backwards. It's all good.
And it's not the best picture of him, so don't... Oh, keep going.
I'm good. Yeah, I think the thing is that if you've got kids with you as well, you can maximize the time in the water. You can get on the right baits.
Really, you can do other things.
It accelerates everything. Yeah, you can show you some sites if your kids are bored, but he can really show you some cool stuff. And if you want to know electronics, there is nothing better.
Oh,
and
of course, it blocks his face. Can you see that? Take it.
Okay. Don't know him.
Don't know
thought
him?
I might have known him, but...
But you don't know who that is?
No, I thought it was Dan Eigen. Dan does a big tournament up there. He has fundraising. He has a blood disease. And great guy. Super guy. So if you're ever up the Gull Lake area, Dan's
we'll
guy.
Just it's Dan.
We'll just say it's Dan. Dan, you were with Dan, and he caught the biggest bass you ever caught. Perfect. I love it. I love it. So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And that's kind of a key piece. So I pulled a story before we jump off to that. Wanted to touch on some guys that are listening in the Michigan area or maybe fish that area. The Michigan DNR has received $39.8 million in federal funding from the Wildlife and Sport Fish Restoration Program. The supporting program generated through self-imposed excise taxes paid by sportsmen and sportswomen on a variety of hunting, fishing, and boating goods. So here's a key piece. This year's allocation is $5.4 million less than last year. Guess why? The difference is due to less spending on hunting and fishing equipment in 2023. See, this is how this correlates. And I don't think people really realize the support that we get to get restocking and to support wildlife management and all that is directly related to what we spend on hunting and fishing. So to promote that piece of the puzzle, it's a big deal. And, you know, so that's part of it. If you look at the fishing side of it, well, actually, let me jump to the hunting side. Their allocation for Michigan's eighth highest among states, behind Texas at $45 million, Alaska 41, Pennsylvania 34.5, Georgia 32, California 31, Tennessee 30, and Minnesota 28. Now, in the fishing side of it, we're looking at the allocation, they were also eighth behind Texas, Alaska, California, Florida, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, and North Carolina. So excise taxes on fishing equipment, motor boating, small engine, fuels, import duties, interest collected in appropriate states through the Sport Fish Restoration Program. It's the same thing there. And, you know, so supporting the sport and getting out and doing things in the outdoors do support the fish and wildlife management process and building up of the stocking as well. So don't forget to do that. Hang tight, guys. We are going to be back with Mr. Chris Granrud from Rainy Days Guide Service. Hang tight. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. We'd like to also have you hang out somewhere else occasionally, and that would be where?
TheValleyOutdoors.com. I got it written down.
You got it written down. And Facebook, like us, please. Lots of places to check us out. On the website, of course, fully interactive. Any state, you can simply go to that state, click on it, it'll take you to the DNR website, and you can check on whatever season and or special activities that they may have going on at that time. And speaking of special activities, we got Chris Granrud from Rainy Days Guide Service with us, good friend of the show. Chris, what are you doing right now?
Well, ready to solve some world problems with you.
Yeah, I love it. You know, when I called you earlier, it's like, you got to help me solve some world problems. You got to help me. We got to solve some stuff. And last week, I kind of went off on you know, limits that were set in apparently arbitrary manner, you know, and really kind of crazy things that have been going on. And it's an odd thing. I think you saw it. And what I'm referring to is Mulak going to a no catch until maybe middle of August. And what's your take on that? I mean, you're obviously involved with the guide service, et cetera. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a toughie. You know, it seems like, you know, Mulak seems to be kind of micromanaged, you know, from afar, I guess. You know, obviously, being up here on the border, you know, we're not fishing Mulak a lot, but you know, a lot of our clients are, you know, a lot of our customers are. And, you know, and honestly, when you have one lake, you know, especially like, you know, Lake Mulak, that's under, you know, kind of extra scrutiny or being micromanaged, you know,
microscope, yeah.
You know, that, you know, those anglers go elsewhere a lot of times, you know, you know, I don't know. It just kind of seems like we're a little bit of a, in a diminishing rate of returns here as kind of outdoorsmen. And I would say it's just not just Mille Lacs, but I mean, you know, different things. And I don't know exactly how they're coming up with, you know, their numbers and, you know,
well,
I guess.
You know Tony Roach, and Tony Roach, we're going to have him on next week, and we're going to talk about a lot of different pieces and parts to the puzzle. But now MN Fish got on board, and they've written a letter to the DNR about their guessing, is the way I'm going to put it. I have to be careful somewhat, but their methodology and looking at that side of the fence, you know, so it's a controversy and something to look at, but let's move off from that. We've all involved at all different points and pieces and parts, and as far as the outdoors, and it's all affecting various elements in all of our fishing across the board. But I think one of the nice stories, I guess, from our side of the fence in Minnesota is, I know Lake of the Woods is healthy, Rainy's healthy. You guys are catching some fish.
Yeah, you know, they're two great fisheries. You know, I mean, you know, the one advantage that we have, you know, on Rainy Lake, well, I guess Lake of the Woods is really kind of the same thing as well. You know, the Canadian side of our water is highly protected, right? So, yep. I mean, like our clients, when we transfer, you know, across the border and we fish it, you know, on the Canadian side of Rainy Lake, we can only come back with one walleye. And that's been like that for a long time. In all honesty, if you have a couple anglers in the boat and they can keep one, you know what they choose to do a lot of times? They keep zero.
Yep.
So it's been almost a catch and release fishery for a real large portion of the lake. So Rainy Lake, 66% of that water is actually in Canada. So, you know, I think that that's kind of helped preserve, you know, some of that. But yeah, I don't know. It kind of is getting back to that Mille Lacs. So it's kind of hard to see some big, you know, fertile fisheries like that, and so important to the state of Minnesota, go through such scrutiny. You know, I mean, that's hard. Obviously hard on anglers, it's hard on resorts, it's hard on tourism. There's a lot of hard feelings involved there, and it's just tough to see.
Well, it is, and I think the one advantage you guys have is you've got a pretty – that area, I know the guys from Lake of the Woods Tourism Bureau, they're heavy duty on it. Obviously, you're out and about promoting, and that's a big piece of the puzzle with the guide service. And you know, it's the mentality and what you've really put across as a guide to, do you really want to keep that fish, or you want to, let's just keep rolling and not have to worry about it, and we can have fish later, or, you know, whatever. And we're here to catch a bunch of fish. So it's really what kind of things you the thought process you lay down at the start of the day. And it leads me into what we had brought up earlier, you know, that there's a lot of people that may not know a body of water. They go to a resort, and I worked at a resort as a kid, and they want me to take them out, and we show them around. But it can be a challenge, especially in a lake like Rainy. And we've done a couple Winkleman shows up there to show people some different pieces and parts. But you've got to understand electronics. But more importantly, why not, if you're going up, maybe have your own boat, get an idea of what's going on, but what to expect, really, if you're looking at getting a guide to get you through that rough spot of a new lake you're going to, that's a big deal. It's a great idea. That's really something that I think people should take a look at. Have a week of success and take a day or two guide trip just so you can understand what's going on, understand the rigs and those pieces and parts. I think that's a good way to do it. But what do you expect? And what should people be expecting when they hire a guide?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, any kind of success is, you know, really doing good fact-finding, right? Really kind of understanding, you know, what the customer wants, then being able to match up your service, you know, with what they're looking for. And I'll tell you that we run guide trips in 1,000 different fashions, right? So we have, kind of like you had referred to there, Eric, you know, we'll have maybe a group of anglers that are going to come for 7 days, and they want to get pushed onto the right pattern right away. So they're not, you know, up on the body of water to see it firsthand. It's a massive body of water that covers, you know, 225,000 acres of water.
Yeah, just
want to get on the right pattern.
Just a small body.
Just a small, like, yeah, for my house, we go 35 miles of the Kettle Falls Dam or 40 miles into Canada. It's just such a massive body of water. And yeah, so they wanted to shorten the learning curve, right? So there's that trip. There's trips that, you know, guys don't have their right equipment. They don't have a big boat to handle the body of water, nor do they want to, frankly. So we handle those. I've got some of those guys in my customer base, my personal guide trip base that have been with me for 15, 16 years that honestly, they might fish, you know, 4 or 5 times a year. They're not gonna buy a boat and maintain it. They just jump in with me. They come up with nothing, and we take care of them. They have fun. And there's just like all sorts of different reasons, right? There's safe routes of travel. I mean, you know, I mean, you think you're saving some money doing it on your own until you knock your lower unit off. Didn't save a lot of money, you know?
That never happens either, does it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, the big old rocky body of water there, but I think service is a really big part of it. Right. So, I mean, like a lot of times if it gets caught up online where they'll talk about guide trips, like, I don't need a guide, you know, and I'll see it with guys a lot of times in the boat, you know, like, well, I don't need a guide, but my wife is along and she doesn't fish very much. So she's going to need a guide. And, in all honesty, there's different nuances with every body of water, that the guide's typically probably on top of, and he could probably, again, you know, make you a little more efficient on that body of water. So a lot of different reasons, but I think service is a big part of it. You know, I mean, I love it. I'll jump in with our guides all the time. I mean, like, you know, on the Rainy River right now, I mean, I'll jump in with them and, you know, being able to just kind of fish with them and you know, they take care of the boat. They're loading it, unloading it. I mean, honestly, it's a pretty good deal. It's a lot of fun just setting the hook.
Oh, Chris, no, it's a great gig if you can get it. Because how many times do we go and launch a boat and have to worry about this and have to worry about that? And then in the back of your mind, everything is going on. Okay, I got to figure out, is the bait where it was yesterday? If it's not going, what are we going to switch to? You have to have 3 backup spots. Now, oh, they're biting short. All right, if we put a stinger hook on that jig, is it going to cut the bite in half? Or are we just missing them because something's different? So, yeah, I mean, that's
all those things that are going through your head. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, showing up at the landing with, you know, your sunglasses and rain gear and your fishing license and some snacks. I mean, like, honestly, that makes life a lot easier. And a lot of times when people come up and they come up onto the Canadian border here, this is their one trip a year. They get to kind of relax and escape from the hustle and bustle of, you know, the real world and their job and all the extra stressors. You know, the last thing that they want to do is have to now try to manage something else that might be stressful, you know, and try to keep their boat out of the rocks, try to figure out where the fish are. Maybe they've got some other buddies that have been promising to come up with this great body of water, and those buddies are expecting to catch fish, and also they're not catching fish, and that guy's trying to maintain the boat, and it's windy, and it's, you know, I mean, there are stressors that are involved. As anglers, as hardcore anglers, you know, we probably thrive off that. But not everybody does, you know.
Well, so
some people just
that's a good point.
Fishing.
So, I love it. So I had some friends, and this is a true story. I had some friends that they were going to go out to Erie, and they said, "Well, we don't want to take a boat." And I said, "Oh boy, let me tell you where you're going to go. Well, we're going to go and do this." So what do they end up doing? They ended up taking a 6-pack boat. They went out, which, and a 6-pack is basically you're going to take 6 to 7, 8, maybe 8 anglers. You're going to go out and you're going to drift fish. Some of the reefs, and you're going to get some small fish, and you're going to do the same thing. You're going to do, you know, the wait forward countdown type baits with a crawler on it, and you just throw the bait out,
yep,
countdown to point, and then start reeling in. Everybody does, yep, the same thing. It was a frustration level it got to. It's like, because that's not what these. It's like, wait a minute, let's try some bouncers or do something different. And they're like,
right,
nope, this is what we're going to do. So, I think. So expectation-wise, Chris, that's one of the big things that comes up. You know, before the trip, I think if it's important that they let you know what kind of things they'd like to do as well. Like, hey, I want to learn how to jig fish better, or I want to learn how to do bottom bouncing better, or I'd like to know how, you know, cast some crankbaits, and where would I normally do that? What does it look like? I mean, those are key pieces to the puzzle too, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you know that. I mean, that's real critical. And I always try to train all of our guides to try to ask some of those questions on the initial interview before our guide trip, you know, because it could be 100 different things. Maybe they want to learn some things on their, you know, electronics, or maybe they want to learn how to use a glide bait, or maybe they want to try to figure out shallow water patterns that they're just not real familiar with. And then when we're armed with that information, it's really easy to execute, right? So, but if you don't do that early homework, and you just walk into the guide trip and you just go out and just kind of get into your milk run that you've been running for a while, you might not be accomplishing anything they want to. And I will tell you, as a guide, this will be my 18th year full time here. So I will tell you that every trip is a little bit different. You know, if you have your 7-year-old little boy along, or you've got a 4-year-old little girl, or your dad that maybe is one of his last couple of fishing trips, you know, we're probably bright enough to realize that this is probably going to be about them. And maybe they want to see kettle falls. Maybe they want to have shore lunch on an island somewhere. Maybe they want to, whatever it may be. But there's a lot of different reasons. And if we can uncover that during the initial talk, we can do a pretty good job of making sure that happens.
Well, and I'll be honest with you, that also makes a difference in a good guide service and a bad one. So take time and interview your guides before you say, oh, we're going to go with this and we'll just go this way. If they don't ask questions of what you want to accomplish or what are you looking to do, then you need to keep looking. And that's one of the big, because you got what, 10 guys that work for you?
Yeah, so we have 8 captains now. Yep. And that's just a real good point that you made there. That's just that is just really, really strong, because sometimes if you don't do that initial, and it's time consuming, right? So I mean, maybe that's an extra 15 minutes with the guide or your customer on the phone on a night when you've already been guiding and you're a little tired. But that's really where it all happens. I mean, because if I get somebody that comes to my boat and he's like, oh, I don't want to throw stick bait. I don't like to throw stuff shallow. I want to just vertical jig. That's what we do. And if all your big fish are sitting in 5 feet of water, you have to know that ahead of time. So all of it, a lot of times, and the guys will tell me how we're going to catch this, is how I want to catch them. And I'll say, here's the deal. You're probably going to want to come up during this time of year, because we're not going to have any good fish in that water. That technique's not going to be really good during this. So why don't you come up during this time frame? Because this time frame, here are kind of the options. There's kind of array of things that we could do. That's... And then you can kind of line the guy up into the time, because he wants to fish wide baits and he wants to fish whatever it may be. But otherwise, sometimes you'll get in the boat and you'll realize that you're really not able to deliver what they're looking for.
No, and electronics are such a big and that's one of the and Chris, that's what really I wanted to get you on, because I know what you guys do. I know what level of service you provide, and you guys do the questions. And again, I'm not talking just you guys. In different areas across the country, whether it's Lake Erie, whether it doesn't matter where it is, talk to these people and say, okay, I'd like to do this. Are we going to be able to do that? Because I know there's inflexibility across, no, this is what we do and this is the way it is and this and this and this, and then we're going to get our limit and then we're going to be done and we're going to come in. And that is not, you know, a lot of people think that's what guiding is and that's what a guide trip is, but it's not. Yeah. It's about the communication between you and the other aspect. So perfect.
Yeah. I mean, and then building a rapport with them. You're having fun in the boat. You know, I mean, as much as we think that we can control the bite, you know, as anglers, I mean, honestly, that's not always the case. So I always tell our customers that, you know, we're going to give you 199%. There's not one guide that we have that doesn't realize if you catch big fish, that's the key. I mean, you're going to have a fun time.
Yep.
But understanding that we can't always control that, we have fun guys to be in the boat with.
That's
you're
going
to like these guys.
You're going to have a good
they're
day.
They're going to take care of you.
Absolutely.
You're going to want to come back because you like them. You've built a relationship with them. They were nice to you. They were good to you. They taught you things. I mean,
and you guys
they were
got
funny,
that.
Whatever it may be.
Exactly. So we got 2 minutes left. We got 2 topics to cover. Quickly, number one, what's it looking like for your opener up there? You're going to be clear of ice. We all think it's been an early spring is going to be out of the woods. You still have ice right now, though.
We have ice right now, but we're expecting a better than average opener because we expect that ice to come off a little bit earlier than normal, which is going to warm our water up a little quicker. I guess we're going to have a really good fishing opener.
That's awesome. Good to hear there. And what's going on in the Rainy? Have you heard anything?
The Rainy River?
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. The Rainy River is really good right now. It's the water's low, but at this point, the fishing has been really good. A lot of big fish.
And, of course, there's a lot of ways to go. I think sturgeon's still going, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, there's sturgeon all over the place, too. If you're side imaging, you're going to see those big logs with forked tails all over the place.
It's the craziest thing ever. When you look at that kind of fishing now compared to when I first started it, Chris Niskanen, he's part of the legislature now, I believe. He was a writer for the Star Tribune. He and I went up there on the first trip I ever had way back when I first started. We're talking probably 79, but he and I went up there, did an article on Rainy River, and it was just a blast. So don't miss that Pint of a Bite, you guys. They're going on down here in the river in Red Wing. They're going on up there. But make sure, you guys, bottom line, check out your guide service when you guys are looking to do that. If you don't know a body of water, take a day or two. Don't be afraid to do it. It's worth it. And then, put them in your back pocket. Make sure that you're going to be really approaching it from the right perspective, and you know what you're going to get when you get there. You've got a rapport already established, so that's the deal. Chris, we are out of time. Thank you. I appreciate you coming on. Say hi to the better half for me. You guys, it's always good having you on board. Check out Rainy Days Guide Service. We'll have you on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And for The Valley Outdoors, I'm Eric and Ava, and we are out of here. Have a great one. See ya.